नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ न तथा हि अघवान् राजन् भूयेत तपः आदिभिः यथा कृष्णार्पिता प्राणस्तत्पुरुषा निसेवया न तथा ह्यगवान् राजन् भूयेत तप आदिभिः यथा कृष्णार्पिता प्राणस्तत्पुरुषा निसेवया न तथा ह्यगवान् राजन् भूयेत तप आदिभिः यथा कृष्णार्पिता प्राणस्तत्पुरुषा निसेवया न तथा ह्यगवान् राजन् भूयेत तप आदिभिः यथा कृष्णार्पिता प्राणस्तत्पुरुषा निसेवया Tata, so much he certainly Aghavan, a man full of sinful activities, Rajan, O King, Puyeta, can become purified, Tapa Adibi, by executing the principles of austerity, penance, brahmacharya, and other purifying processes, yatha, as much as Krishnarpita prana. The devotee whose life is fully Krishna conscious. Tat purushana sevaya. By engaging his life in the service of Krishna's representative. My dear King, if a sinful person engages in the service of a bona fide devotee of the Lord, and thus learns how to dedicate his life unto the lotus feet of Krishna, he can be completely purified. One cannot be purified merely by undergoing austerity, penance, brahmacharya, and other methods of atonement I have previously described. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Tat Purusha refers to a preacher of Krishna consciousness, such as the spiritual master. Srila Narottam Das Thakur has said, Chadiya Vaishnava Seva Nistara Pai Chikeva. Without serving a bona fide spiritual master, an ideal Vaishnav, who can be delivered from the clutches of Maya? The idea is also expressed in many other places. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.2 says, Mahat Sevam Dwaram Ahurava Mukte. If one desires liberation from the clutches of Maya, one must associate with a pure devotee, Mahatma. A Mahatma is one who engages 24 hours daily in the loving service of the Lord. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Mahatmanastu mam parata daivim prakriti mashura bhajantyananya manaso gyatva bhutadimabhyayam. O son of Prita, those who are not deluded, the great souls, are under the protection of the divine nature. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. Thus, the symptom of a Mahatma is that he has no engagement other than the service to Krishna. One must render service to a Vaishnava in order to get freed from the sinful reactions, revive one's original Krishna consciousness, and be trained in how to love Krishna. This is the result of Mahatma Seva. Of course, if one engages in the service of a pure devotee, the reaction of one's sinful life is vanquished automatically. Devotional service is necessary, not to drive away an insignificant stock of sins, but to awaken our dormant love for Krishna. As fog is vanquished at the first glimpse of sunlight, one's sinful reactions are automatically vanquished as soon as one begins serving a pure devotee. No separate endeavor is required. The word Kanarpita Prana refers to a devotee who dedicates his life to serving Krishna, not to being saved from the hell path to hellish life. A devotee is Narayana Parayana or Vasudev Parayana, which means that the path of Vasudev, or the devotional path, is his life and soul. Narayana Parayana Sarve, Narayana Parasarve Nakutashtana Vibhyate. Such a devotee is not afraid of going anywhere. There is a path toward liberation in the higher planetary systems and a path toward the hellish planets. But a Narayana Para devotee is unafraid wherever he is sent. He simply wants to remember Krishna, wherever he may be. Such a devotee is unconcerned with hell or heaven. He is simply attached to rendering service to Krishna. When a devotee is put into hellish conditions, he accepts them as Krishna's mercy. Tate nukam pam susamikshamana. He does not protest. Oh, I am such a great devotee of Krishna. Why have I been put into this misery? Instead, he thinks, this is Krishna's mercy. Such an attitude is possible for a devotee who engages in the service of Krishna's representative. This is the secret of success. Om Akyantimidandasya Jnananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapatantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jutapatakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajataham Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tham Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanshakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Patithanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I thank you for being here today. Swabhas Prabhu, gratitude to your feet. Allowing me this opportunity to serve. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 1, entitled The History of the Life of Ajamil. Text 16. In this section of the chapter, the king Parikshit, who was cursed to die in 7 days, sitting on the bank of the river Ganges, was seeking the guidance, the blessings, and especially words of enlightenment from the great souls or Mahatmas. And because he was such a king who had such a pure heart, who was so kind to all the citizens, who respected and honored everyone, thousands and thousands of great souls came to be with him for those last days of his life. And among all of them, they chose the 16-year-old boy, Shukadev Goswami, to speak on behalf of everyone, because his heart was pure and his love for Krishna was so deep. So now we're in the sixth canto, so a few days have passed, and Parikshit is asking, how can one actually be free from the tendency for selfish materialistic activities? You've already explained the process of atoning or counteracting sins that one may have committed in the past. But unless that inclination is uprooted from the heart, however many times we counteract the reactions and effects, we will be driven to do it again. In this particular verse that we're speaking today, Shukadev Goswami is telling that whatever a condition we may be in if one serves great souls, persons who love God, Krishna, that association will uproot all our inclinations for sinful activities, which cannot be purified even by undergoing austerity, penance, brahmacharya, or any other methods of atonement that I have previously described. Explaining specifically the path of devotion, because in the association of such Mahatma, one learns how to dedicate one's life to the lotus feet of Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada, in this elaborate purport, he's describing what the nature of such a devotee is, who can actually invoke that natural dormant propensity to love and serve God from the heart. It says such a devotee is unconcerned with either hell or heaven. Srila Prabhupada cites a section of Srimad Bhagavatam, the life of Maharaj Chitraketu. Chitraketu Maharaj went through so many ups and downs in his life. Extreme, but very similar to all of ours. Therefore, of all the billions and trillions of stories of so many people throughout history, Shukadev Goswami chose those stories which were most effective in awakening love of God in our hearts. But Chitraketu was a king. He had everything. But he didn't have a son. No children. And in those days, a king, his offspring would take on the throne when he would retire. So it was something very sacred to have children. But he had incredible wealth, beautiful wives, had everything material a person could have. Tremendous power, but didn't have a child. So nothing he had could he appreciate or could make him happy, because of he had millions of things, but he didn't have one thing. This is the nature of this world. Even if you have everything, one little thing could make you miserable. Yes, just like if you're in perfect health and you succeed in your business ventures, and people like you, if you step on a thorn, are you happy? It pierces your foot. Actually, considering your body is such a big thing, and the thorn only takes up a couple millimeters of your body, that's all it touches. The rest of your body is perfectly fine. Just that 1 millimeter of where the point of the thorn goes into your foot. It's such a small little part of your body. And what to speak of your big house and your nice family and all of the power of your thousands of employees who all honor you and respect you. That one little thorn, you can't appreciate anything else. That's just the humor of material nature. You could try for everything, but if even one thing goes wrong, it could cause so much disruption. You can't appreciate anything else because you're just focused on that. Lord Chaitanya gives an example that a prince is so affluent in every way. But if one person just says an insulting word to the person, even if, though he has a beautiful feast of luxurious foods on golden and silver plates, can't eat anything because of a word somebody said. So Chitraketu, he had everything but no child. And it's a long story, and I'll make it really short. But he told this to Narada Muni and Parvat Muni, two great sages. They said, you will have a child, but he will be the source of both happiness and distress. Oh, the king said, well, every child is a source of happiness and distress. So he was very happy. So he had a child. Beautiful little baby. Oh, he was the happiest man. To the degree he suffered, he was happy now. But people were envious. People were envious. So some of them poisoned the child. Secretly. And now, to whatever extent he was happy, he was 10 times more miserable. He couldn't do anything. But then Narada Muni came, and by his mystic powers, he brought the child back to life. And the child, little baby, started talking to his father. Why are you in such illusion? I'm not this body. I'm the eternal soul. I'm not subject to birth or death. And you think you're my father? I've had so many lifetimes in so many places. I've had so many fathers and so many mothers. And which one are you? So have you. I'm an eternal soul. I'm passing on to where I'm supposed to be. It's my destiny. Haribo. Something like that. And after enlightening his father and everybody else, he laid down and was no longer alive. His father was enlightened by his son. He realized. And he deeply, deeply surrendered to the Lord. And one day he was traveling around and he happened to see Lord Shiva sitting, giving a talk to the greatest renunciates, yogis, swamis, babas in the forest. People who have given up family, giving up every type of sensory enjoyment, who are living in the forest, hardly eating, hardly sleeping, just doing their tapasya, their meditations. And Lord Shiva, who's the king of yogis, is instructing them on a life of renunciation. And as he's speaking very powerful words, Chitraketu happened to be watching. But he was very much amused because as Lord Shiva was speaking to these celibate monks in this way, teaching them how to do it, Lord Shiva's wife, Parvati, Devi, was sitting on his lap very affectionately. Lord Shiva's arm was around her as he was telling them all about how to be renounced, how to be celibate. Chitraketu knew the power of Lord Shiva, his greatness, but he had to laugh because this was very, very special. He didn't laugh with envy. He didn't laugh to criticize. It was just an amazing scene. But Parvati, she was very unhappy that he's laughing at my husband. He's saying things like this. Oh, look, Lord Shiva's sitting, speaking to all these people with his wife on his lap. She said, because you have spoken ill of the great Mahadev, I curse that you become a demon and go to hell. Now she's the mother. She's Devi. Mother, you know, she sometimes spanks her child for the purpose of teaching the child a good lesson. Well, when Parvati, or Durga, the mother of material existence, when she wants to spank you, she knows how to do it in such a way that actually, you know, gives you a good lesson to learn. So after Chitraketu is cursed to become a demon in hell, and it's not like somebody just saying that. When Parvati says it, it will be. Chitraketu got on his knees and bowed down with folded palms and a heart that was sincerely grateful. He thanked Parvati for that blessing. He said, actually, I didn't mean to criticize Lord Shiva. I honor him. I love him. But, you know, you interpreted it this way. And you gave me this curse. So with a grateful heart, I accept that it's the best thing for me. And now with your permission, I will proceed to hell to become a demon. Thank you. And when Lord Shiva heard these words, he he became ecstatic, saying, just see what a devotee he is. This is greatness. This is the symptom of true greatness. And he quoted this verse that Srila Prabhupada is citing. Narayana parasarve nakutashtana bibdite swarga pavarga, which means this is the quality of a devotee of Lord Narayan. He simply wants to serve. In any situation, nothing can take away the opportunity to serve. There can be so many things that happen to us in this world that are unpredictable, that are beyond our control. But one thing that's always within our control is the opportunity to serve in whatever situation. There are 9 processes of devotional service. Sravana kirtana smarana bandana pada sevana dasyade pujana sakijana atmani vedana. And in any situation, we can serve the Lord by hearing about the Lord's glories, by chanting the Lord's glories, by remembering the Lord, by worshiping the Lord, by serving the Lord, by carrying out His instructions, by becoming His friend, by giving everything. And the easiest way to serve in any situation is we can always remember the Lord by chanting the holy names. No one can take that away from us. So Chitraketu, Lord Shiva is pointing out, just see the quality of a devotee in Narayan. He just wants to serve. It really makes no difference for that person whether he's in heaven or hell or the spiritual world or anywhere else. Because we can always please the Lord and serve the Lord. And just see, he's grateful. He's grateful to become a demon because he knows he can't stop his devotional service. There's that story of Socrates where he was in prison and he was sentenced to death, and they came with that poison hemlock and they said, now you have to drink this. And Socrates said, you can't kill me until you could find me. Well, yeah, that bewildered them because he's in their prison. They're looking right at him. The hemlock's right in their hand. He's ready. He says, no problem, I'll drink it, but you can't kill me unless you find me. Because the soul is eternal. Vijayate mriyate vakadachit. It's unborn and undying. Jivara swarupoi krishnara nityadas. The nature of the soul is an eternal servant of Krishna. So nothing can take away the propensity to serve if we want to serve any situation. And this is the quality of real happiness. Srila Prabhupada quotes, Tate nukampam susamikshamana. If our happiness is based on things going the way we like them to go, it's not going to last very long. Because in this world, things don't always go the way we want them to go. No matter how much you try, the world is not designed like that. Dugalayam ashashvatam. It's dualities, reversals. They will come, whoever, wherever, however we are. Whether we're on the top or on the bottom or anywhere in the middle, there's going to be things that just aren't the way we want it. So if we're worshiping God to get things the way we want it, you'll get it sometimes. But then by the Lord's grace, you won't get it sometimes. That's just the way the world is. So real happiness is when we're just happy to serve. We're happiness to please Krishna in any situation. Then our happiness cannot be disturbed. Because those things that are beyond our control, they'll happen. But the one thing that is within our control is our will to serve. Our will to please. Our will to engage in devotional service. And when that happens, when obstacles, difficulties come, and with folded hands, we just say, thank you. I'm yours. And Krishna reveals himself. And that's the real pleasure of life, when we feel the love of Krishna. This story is leading up to the story of Ajamila, where Shukadeva Goswami is going to tell how this person who did everything wrong in his life, who hurt so many people, including the people who loved him the most, his own mother and father and everyone else, he just tortured them by his misbehavior, by his cruelty, by his selfishness, by his egoism. Even though he was a very nice boy with very good parents, he somehow or other got mixed up with the wrong people. And his life was in ruins. But at the moment when he was dying, he chanted the Lord's name, Narayan, without offenses in his heart. And he was freed of all his sins. And the doors opened to the path of perfection. Such a beautiful story. In great detail, Shukadeva is about to speak that. In this regard, as far as making the choice to choose to be enlightened rather than be degraded or depressed in a situation, we can give some examples regarding today's auspicious event. It is the disappearance day of Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. So I'll say something. One of the qualities of Raghunath Bhatta Goswami was he was Adosha Darshi, which means he simply never complained. And he never found fault in anyone. Because for him, that was simply a trap of Maya to see faults in others, which just wastes our time. And not only that, you become what you associate with. If you look for the good qualities in others, you get good qualities. If you look for the faults in others, you're associating with those faults in your mind, and you're meditating on and pondering and speaking them. And what happens is faults start growing in yourself. You become what you associate with. And everybody has good qualities and everybody has faults. And even if somebody doesn't have faults, if we have faults, we'll see them. Shishupal, he couldn't see anything good about Krishna. He only saw faults in him. And that's all. His life and soul was trying to degrade the reputation of Krishna by finding faults. And it's not that he was just speaking them. He really believed that they were true. And not only did he believe that they were true, but he really felt a mission to enlighten the world, to expose Krishna for his corruption, and his degradation. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said the only reason a person finds fault with others is because that person is honeycombed with unlimited faults, him or herself. The world is a mirror. Well, we see the world according to our particular state of consciousness. If we're filled with faults, we're going to see those faults everywhere and in everyone. If we're filled with love of God, we're going to see that everywhere. Now, sometimes great souls, they point out wrong things, not because they like to find fault in them, but like a doctor. A doctor, in order to keep us healthy, will warn us what to be on the alert for so that we don't get contaminated by that disease. Or if a doctor tells you that, you know, you're sick and you say, why are you finding fault with me? He's actually doing it out of compassion to help you. So if we actually have a sincere desire to help someone, we actually care about them, then that's not fault-finding. We're actually speaking the truth. But when we're not actually making some positive contribution to a person's life, then that kind of fault-finding simply degrades us. Lord Chaitanya made it simple in Chaitanya Bhagavat. He said, do two things. Chant the holy names of God. Don't criticize others. I'll take you back to Godhead. That's in the scripture. But that's not easy. It's very difficult. So Raghunath Bhat Goswami, he had no inclination. If he heard people gossiping and talking, this person did this, did you hear what that person did this time and how this person did that? Raghunath Bhat Goswami would say, whether it's true or false, I don't even care. The person's a devotee, that's good enough for me. Let Krishna take care of the West. The person's a devotee, that's good enough for me. Srila Prabhupada explained if a person's in a bath, even if he's dirty, the fact that he's in a bath, he should be happy that he's getting clean. We don't care about how dirty he still is. And Rupa Goswami explains this is the quality of a true devotee. It's quite profound. Rupa Goswami says a true devotee has no propensity or inclination to find faults in others. To criticize. And this, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami and Srila Prabhupada are very much glorifying about Raghunath Bhat Goswami. He has so many characteristics, but they're very much in this, in a particular section, they're focusing on this because it's so important. Adosha Darshi. Srila Prabhupada gives the example that a honeybee, even if in a whole area filled with sewage, a honeybee will bzzz, just ignore all the sewage stuff. And if you go to India, you really know what it's like. Practically anywhere. And it'll go right to a single flower and drink the nectar. And a fly, even if he's in a fragrant rose garden with thousands of flowers, that fly will go to one piece of excrement and drink the nectar. So a devotee is like a honeybee, not a fly. This is a beautiful quality of Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. And how he loved to serve. How Raghunath Bhatta Goswami loved to serve great souls. It describes he would stay about 8-9 months with Lord Chaitanya at a time. And Raghunath Bhatta Goswami would cook for Lord Chaitanya. And when he would cook, every preparation was like nectar. Because he put so much of his heart, so much love, so much devotion into that preparation. And the Lord is Bhava Grahi Janardana. He accepts the intent, he accepts the devotion we put into it. You can be the best cook. It's like the story of Duryodhana. He cooked a huge feast for Krishna. With the best ingredients, the best recipes, best served it out on the best plates. Everything was fantastic with entertainment. Krishna didn't want it. He had no appetite for that luxurious food. He went to Vidura's house and ate a banana. And he thought that that was like nectar. Because Vidura offered it with love and devotion. Duryodhana had selfish motivations in his mind as he was cooking and as he was arranging it to be cooked. So Krishna accepts our intent. So because Raghunath Bhatta Goswami was cooking with such devotion to please the Lord, everything he made was unlimitedly delicious to the Lord. Just the fragrance, the sight, the taste of the food was intoxicating because it was filled with devotion. And he would also sing the Srimad Bhagavatam to Lord Chaitanya every day. And because of the love of his heart, he was so empowered, he would sing each verse in 5 different tunes, ragas. And whoever heard it was just so happy. Lord Chaitanya blessed him so much. It's interesting because Raghunath Bhatta Goswami was the son of Tapan Rishu, a great devotee. And Lord Chaitanya told him, you should stay with your parents as long as they live and take care of them. Then come to me. So Raghunath Bhatta every now and then would visit the Lord in Puri, but then he would go back, take care of his parents who were great devotees. And when they passed away, he went back to Lord Chaitanya, cooked for him, sang the Bhagavatam for him. Did so many nice services. And then the Lord told him, now you go to Vrindavan and meet with Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. Raghunath Bhatta Goswami spent the rest of his life in Vrindavan, and he would cook for the other Goswamis. And all the residents of Vrindavan, the close associates, they would all gather around Raghunath Bhatta Goswami and ask him, recite Srimad Bhagavatam. And just as he did for Lord Chaitanya, he did for the devotees. He would recite each verse in 5 beautiful tunes, ragas. Wouldn't that be nice to be there for that? And everyone was just thrilled. And this is interesting because the same thing that pleased the Lord, even though after the Lord disappeared from this world, the Lord was equally and even more pleased when he was doing the same thing for his devotees. An eternal truth in this beautiful lesson. Mud. Bhakti Bhakta Puja Pyadika. Krishna says that pleasing my devotees, worshipping my devotees, gives me more pleasure than worshipping me. And Srila Prabhupada explains it in a very down-to-earth way for all of us. He cites that saying, love me, love my dog. He said, if you show love for someone that somebody loves, that the person loves you the most. Rich people, so many people are coming to them for favors. But if you give pleasure to the person's son or daughter, that person is obliged to you forever. More than if you did something for him. That is how we please God, by serving the devotees. So Raghunath Bhatta Goswami continued the rest of his life cooking for the other Goswamis in Vrindavan, the devotees, and singing his Srimad Bhagavatam and serving. And ultimately, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, because of that humility of never wanting to find fault, but always seeing the good in others, always wanting to serve and to please, he had so many followers. Even kings and generals of armies. In fact, it was Raghunath Bhatta Goswami who had the Govindaji temple built for Rupa Goswami's deity, Radha Govinda. One of his disciples did it. And Raghunath Das Goswami, because we're out of time, I'll just remind us of that one famous story of selfless service. He was the son of a billionaire, and he was the only heir. And he left everything to go to Vrindavan. He actually went to Puri to be with Lord Chaitanya. And was just the servant of the servant. Lord Chaitanya put him under the care of Swarup Damodar Goswami. He just spent many, many years the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. Charmed everyone's heart. And after Lord Chaitanya disappeared from the world and Swarup Damodar left this world, he went to Vrindavan. And at one point, Rupa and Sanatan told him to go to Radha Kund. That's where Lord Chaitanya wants you to be. He gave you a Govardhan Shila. His own Govardhan Shila. That means he's given you eternal residence at Govardhan. And he's given you a Gunjamala. This means he's given you eternal service to Sri Radharani. So at that time, Radha Kund was just a little pond in near an agricultural field near Govardhan Hill. And he would sit and chant the holy names in total meditation on Radha and Krishna's divine Leela. One day, Sanatan Goswami came by and he saw just a few inches from Raghunath Das Goswami were man-eating tigers drinking water from the kund. And Raghunath Das Goswami was so absorbed in his meditation, he just didn't even notice that there were tigers there. He was just chanting. Sanatan Goswami kind of watched to make sure the tigers didn't attack him. And he told Raghunath Das afterward, you know, tigers were there. You have to protect yourself. And Raghunath said, I didn't know. But what Sanatan saw was between Raghunath and the tigers, Krishna all of a sudden appeared with a stick to protect Raghunath from the tigers. And Sanatana Goswami said to him, "You're supposed to be serving Krishna, not Krishna serving you." Then another time he came, Sanatana, and it was the noonday sun. The sun was blazing on Raghunath's head. This was in the summertime in India. And he saw Srimati Radharani, the supreme goddess of fortune, lift her veil and stand over Raghunath's head like this to shade him from the sun. She was standing directly in the sun to protect him from the sun. And Sanatana Goswami happened to walk by and see this, was astounded. And afterward, the sun kind of went down, Radharani left, and Sanatana Goswami said, "You are chanting, begging and praying for service to Radha and Krishna. And what's happening is the way you're chanting is Radha and Krishna are coming to serve you." This is the purity of devotion. We don't want anything from the Lord. We want to give to the Lord. So then Raghunath Das Goswami made a little hut called the Bhajan Kutira, which would protect him from the sun and the tigers. And then he could go on chanting and serving Krishna, and Radha and Krishna wouldn't have to come to serve him. It's an example of unmotivated, uninterrupted devotional service. And this is what Shukadeva Goswami is telling Parikshit. It is this type of devotion by which all our innermost desires can be fulfilled. And now I must go to Chicago, so I thank you very, very much. Hare Krishna.